Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, that we might know God, know Jesus Christ, understand what God wants us to do, and we have set aside all the traditions of men. We do not follow any traditions or teachings of men and try and inculcate them into the things of the Bible. We study the Bible, we go by the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, so therefore, we are scripturalists. And the way to understand the Word of God is to realize that. That the Word of God is inspired, it came from Him to give us understanding as to who God is and what He is. And today there are a lot of people that do not know God. And one man said, "Hello, God, do you know me? Are you there? Do you love me? Do you care for me? Why is my life such a mess?" All questions, each needing a segment in itself to answer, but in this segment we are going to answer, God does know you. God does love you. And God has created you. So therefore, you are important to God. So the question will also come down to this. Because of that, is God important to you? Now there's a scripture in John 3 and verse 16, which you can see many times when you're watching a football game. When they kick a field goal or they kick the point after, someone is holding up a sign, John 3:16. Now, which reads correctly this way, God so loved the world, that means the world and everyone in it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish and may have eternal life. And that's the whole story of what the Bible is all about. But to answer the question, does God know you? Let's begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where God created man. Let's see how he created mankind, because there is nothing in all of the animals, nothing in anything that God has created that is like man, and there's a reason for it. And we are a special creation of God. And as we will see in other segments, for a special purpose. And what we need to understand is this, that God has made us in his likeness. Now let's come to Genesis 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth." We're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we have an article you can download entitled, 90 Facts About God. And that will help you understand about the nature of God, what he really looks like, because Jesus told his disciples when they said, "Show us the Father." And he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, to answer another little question here concerning the us, who are the us? Well, in John 17, Jesus said that we may all become one in them. And the other us is the Father. The Bible reveals God the Father, and God the Son, and contained in the Hebrew word Elohim, which means more than one. Now let's go on and see concerning how he created them. Verse 27, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. He created them male and female. Now, God designed us to have a relationship with him. God personally, as we'll see here in just a minute, made Adam and Eve. And so they are unique. But also, he put within them the recreative processes so that through the power of procreation, God is still creating human beings today. Isn't that an amazing thing? That with the love of God, love of husband and wife, that together they can bring children into the world, made in the image of God, after his likeness and after his being, and also after their parents. So that's quite a thing. Let's see how God made Adam. Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And also, when he created him, he was a fully formed adult man. And he had within his mind a language so he could communicate with God and God could communicate with him. And God brought all the animals by for Adam to name them. And whatever he named them, that became the name of that animal or whatever it would be. So you see, God gave us his ability after his likeness. We think, we choose, we have emotions, we can love, we can hate, we can have anger, we can do things, we can build magnificent projects, we can invent and design and picture things and be creative. So God gave us those likenesses that he has. And none of the other creation that God has made has that ability. Now, a lot of people believe in evolution, and they look and they say, well, you know, the genes and chromosomes of the chimpanzee and the ape family are 95% human. So therefore, we must have evolved from them. No, that's not true. God created us, and he's created every other human being since that through the power of procreation. But why did God make those species close to mankind? So that men would learn the lesson, which they haven't learned, which is you can be 95% having the same genes, but you're still not human. Because that is special. And that came from God directly by his own hands in forming Adam. And then later we know that he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of his ribs and he formed and fashioned a woman. And she was called woman because she was taken from man. And then God said, let the two become one flesh. And he also blessed them and told them, multiply and replenish the earth. And so all of us are the result of the creation of God through Adam and Eve. And God did this as a tremendous loving act. And also the husband and wife relationship and the procreation of children is also designed by God to be a loving relationship, though men with their own sins have caused it in some cases to be something other than that. And in many cases now it's multiplied over and over in the world to where people don't even know who they are, where they came from, who God is, and what's going on. So let's answer the question, God, do you know me? Yes. Let's answer that question. Let's come to the book of Job. Now, Job is a very interesting book and one you really need to read and study through so that you can understand that no human work is going to bring you salvation. And you also need to understand that in the book of Job shows us that we cannot instruct God as to what to do. God is God. We're his creation. And shall the created say to God, what are you making? No. Let's come to the book of Job, chapter 32, and let's see something that is very interesting, because in breathing to Adam the breath of life, God gave man intelligence and mind power through the spirit of man. The human mind is a special creation by God that is designed to receive the Holy Spirit of God. But in order to receive it, there is a special spirit that God has given called the Spirit of Man, which says in Zechariah 12 and verse 1 that God has formed the spirit in man. So every human being has a spirit. That spirit unites with the brain, the physical brain, which gives intellect, which gives power of thought and reason, which gives creativity, which gives love, which gives emotion, and all the things of human beings. Now, the argument going back and forth, Elihu was the younger of all of them, and he finally spoke up after Job and his friends couldn't answer the questions. So he said here, Job 32, verse 8, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. You cannot be complete without the Spirit of God, but there is the Spirit of man. God wants you to be inspired with His Spirit to understand His Word. That's why He made you, so you can understand the purpose in life. Now let's come over here to chapter 33 and verse 4. Now it talks about how every human being after Adam and Eve came into existence through the power of procreation, as we know. But notice what Elihu said here. The Spirit of God has made me. In the womb, we're going to see that God creates every human being. Special creation of God. That's why when you understand the absolute utter horror of abortion, why God counts that as one of the most heinous sins against the most innocent possible. The Spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. God gave it, so we breathe. Now we're here breathing, we're thinking, we're viewing, we're learning, our minds are active, and so forth. And all of that is because God created that and put it in us. You couldn't do it unless God did it. And let's also understand something, that when you were conceived, you were just like a little speck of dust. And when you were conceived in your mother's womb and the sperm united with her egg, a miracle took place to make you a separate individual, special, made in the image of God after the likeness of God and the likeness of your parents, and that egg sealed. And you came into existence. When that occurred, there was a spark of electricity of 480,000 volts that sealed the egg. And that's when you were created. All the rest from that point forward is a matter of growth. Everything that you receive from your mother and father and the genes and chromosomes, God created to be passed along to you, and you to your children, and on down as we have it today with all the human beings here. So every human being that there is, God has made, and the Spirit of God is involved in doing it. Now let's come to Psalm 139. This is quite a psalm. This is really something when you understand it. And this talks about the creation. This talks about how God intervened and created you. Now, it may seem like such, because there are so many human beings, it may seem like some overwhelming thing, you know. How could God be interested in that? How could God do this? He set it in motion. He gives the Spirit of man to every human being, every man, every woman. And we're made in the image of God after His likeness, male and female. Now, Psalm 139 is really quite astounding, and it's really very accurate scientifically. So David is talking about God and being created. Now let's notice, God does know you. David said this right in the first verse of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. God knows. God is not way, way off someplace. God is involved with his creation. God is involved with his people. He's given us choice, and we'll talk about that on another time. How did we get the nature that we have? How did we become sinful human beings when God didn't make us that way originally? Yet that does not stop the creation of God that goes on in the creation of every child, special creation, because they know the genes and chromosomes of every human being is different and special to that individual human being. And only the power of God could do that. Let's continue on. Verse 3. You measure my going about, my lying down, and are acquainted with my ways. God knows what we are as human beings. He made us. He knows all things. Notice what else he says here. Verse 4. So think about this the next time you sin with your mouth. See? There is not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Isn't that something? God knows it. He knows you. You may not know him, so we'll do another segment or two. How do I know God? How do I find God? How do I seek God? Because he's there. And he's not way off. Now he says here, verse 5, you have enclosed me behind and in front and laid your hand upon me. If necessary, you can't go beyond what God has created you to do. A lot of false religions come along and say, well, you can have more spiritual power. Well, those things are not true. Those are occult and satanic things that God never intended us to get into, which is also another segment that we need to understand. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's awesome the way that God has made us. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Now think about this. Even though God says, you make your choice, you can go your way, you can go my way. But you can never get away from this. Verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Can anyone hide from God? If he knows your thoughts, can you do things in secret and he doesn't know? Where shall I flee from your presence? See, because we're created by him. So he says here, verse 8, if I go up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Amazing thing, isn't it? Yes, God is right there. He knows all about you. But do you know about God? Do you know about Jesus Christ? Do you know why you are here? Do you know why you are drawing breath? Do you know why you have life? Now, the Bible answers every one of these questions, and we surely can't answer all of those in a half-hour segment, can we? But we can begin to answer those and build the different segments so you can get a perfect picture of what God is doing, and he invites you to be a participant in it if you do things his way. Now let's continue on. Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me shall be night, even the darkness does not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. As is the darkness, so is the light to you. Isn't that something? How could that be? Because of the way that God made you. You are special, you're in particular, you have been made by the Spirit of God through the power of creation, through the procreation of your father and mother. So we're participating in the creation with God to bring more human beings into the world. God does have a plan, and God does have a purpose, and he does have meaning for you. Let's continue here. Notice what he says. Verse 13, "For you have possessed my reins. You have knit me together in my mother's womb. The Spirit of God has formed me, and the Almighty has made me and given me breath." And God knit you together in your mother's womb. So when you were first conceived, you're just like a speck of dust. Everything that you will become is contained therein. And then when you reached maturity to be 9 months and born, then you came out as an innocent little baby. Amazing thing, isn't it? Now notice, verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made." And isn't that the way that the human body is, the human mind is, the eyes, the ears, the whole system that we have, the heart, the lung, the liver, the stomach, the intestines, you know, and our feet, all marvelous things, our hearing, marvelous, all because God wants us to be like him. That's why God loves the world. Even in spite of the wickedness that men do, God has a plan where he's going to undo all except the most incorrigible. You need to understand that. But let me also say this. The only way you're going to find out about it is that you get on God's side. And you do that by learning and studying from the Word of God. Now, let's come to verse 15. Here's something that is astounding. "My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately formed in the lowest parts of the earth." Now that is symbolic language of the womb. Okay? But notice, my substance, that's exactly what they call the forming embryo before it becomes what is called a fetus. Substance. Because you can't see what's in there, but everything about you is in that substance, and it moves one right after the other in sequence to build you and create you in the image of God in your mother's womb. And women have a tremendous thing for God, and that is that they participate directly in the creation of other human beings by carrying that new life within them. And God made them to do that. And that's a magnificent thing. That's why God says, honor your father and your mother, by the way. All right. Verse 16, "Your eyes did see my substance yet unformed. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them." And now with the research in genes and chromosomes, they know that every part of the body is numbered from the genes and chromosomes. Isn't that something? You have stamped on every cell of your being your own particular genetic code. Now, scientists have been trying to understand what they call the genome, the genetic code of human beings. And they understand that there are 23 chromosomes. But the variations of genes is so fantastic that they haven't even figured those out yet, because they've been created by the mind of God for the special purpose of creating you, of creating every individual that there is. Now notice what David said here. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Isn't that something? From the time you were created to the time that you were born and you came out of the womb as a fresh new human being, innocent, having no knowledge, but yet you had life that God created you. And now, through all the process of growing, and God put all of those factors in your body, everything about you, the growing of the bones, the growing of the flesh, of the mind, and so forth, all of those come afterwards. So then it becomes important how you were taught, how you were trained, how you lived, and how your mother and father instructed you and how they treated you, how much love you had, how much love you didn't have. And all of those things affect you, and they form you through the development of your mind. And that's why your mind becomes the most important thing. And this is what God uses to call you. He meant you to be intelligent. He meant you to be able to read. He created you for a relationship with Him. Yes, God knows you. God understands you. God made you. God created you in His image, in your mother's womb, by the power of His Spirit. Well, this is why He's given the Word of God, so now you can know why you're here and where you're going. So the next time you feel, where is God? Remember, He made you, and He's right close at hand. So I hope this helps you understand, yes, you're important to God. Yes, He has interest in you. And we'll see in other segments then how you get in contact with God. So this is Fred Coulter saying, please go to our other website, cbcg.org. We have a lot of downloadable information and audios and videos. If you want to see some videos going back many years, go back to cbcg.org and download some of those. I think you'll find those interesting. And I don't look like I look now. And when my hair grayed, I had a black streak down the middle, which I called my skunk streak. So anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying so long until next time.